Amen. Fantastic singing. Thank you, Bethany and praise team. Appreciate that so much. Amazing. Take your Bibles this morning. Go back to the book of Ephesians once again, where we've been talking about the armor of God and the battle for truth that we are in. Beautiful music. Thank you, each of you. Thank you so much. You did a marvelous job just lifting our hearts and our voices towards the Lord. And it's good to see all your wonderful faces this morning. You are looking good, I'm telling you, you're looking good. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 14. We began to talk about this last week, and I just want to address this one more time because it's so prevalent in our society today and something we need to understand. The Bible says in verse number 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Having your loins girt about with truth. We live in a world where, according to the University of Massachusetts, 70 or 60% of people cannot go 10 minutes without telling a lie. According to the University of Massachusetts, a study they did, many people cannot go, 60% of people cannot go more than 10 minutes without telling a lie. The study continues that the average American tells 11 lies a week. And they also found out, and I'll be careful with this, that the average person is more willing to lie on the phone than in person. So be careful if you're on the phone. Lies are everywhere. 21% of people, according to the study, avoid or tell lies to avoid being other people. Stretching the truth is committed by 32% of people who are in the hospital. An average of 6 lies told to supervisors, partners, spouses, and workmates every day. We have a truth problem in the world in which we live. The Bible says in order to stand against the lies of the devil, we have to know and follow after truth. But we understand that lies come from the father of lies, which is the devil himself. The devil has 2 main lies that he likes to tell people. First of all, the devil loves to downplay sin. It's one of his favorite lies. Do it. Believe it. It's no big deal, the devil says. You deserve this. This is what is best for you. Do this or commit this sin, and it will make you happy. No need to resist temptation. God's going to forgive you. The devil is a liar. The devil works in a world of untruths. And then, if you've been a Christian very long, if you fall prey to the lies and the temptations of the devil, immediately the devil has downplayed sin, and then as soon as you resist or cease to resist the temptation you are under and succumb to his lies, then the devil flips the script. Now he downplays the grace of God and tempts you with statements like this: "You did that? That's a huge deal. You are forever ruined. God is not going to forgive you this time." The devil continues, after being the very one that led you into the sin, now says, "You fool, how could you think you deserve forgiveness? Shame on you. That is the worst thing you could have ever done." And then he continues by saying, "You'll never have joy again, and this time God will never forgive you." The devil is a liar. The very name devil has the idea of slanderer or false accuser. The word Satan has the idea of adversary or one who comes against. This battle, this war that we are in, if you would allow me to say it that way, in spiritual realms, as he says, "Take unto you the whole armor of God. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Just a few references, and maybe some of these verses you'll remember. The devil is a slanderer. He is the accuser in Revelation chapter number 12. He is crafty. In Genesis 3:1, the Bible, the King James says he is more subtle. The idea is that he is crafty. The devil is crafty in his lies. He is a thief. He is a liar. He is deceitful. And he is a destroyer. Based upon just those simple definitions, you could probably figure out the devil is not your friend. He doesn't want anything good for you. He fights against God and God's will continually in your life, and he uses lies, accusations, and deceptions to accomplish his will. I would imagine if any of us had a friend such as this, we would probably not speak any longer. When every word or at every turn, there was an accusation, a lie, or some sort of deception being told. The average child can start lying at 2 years old, and they lie convincingly by 4 years old, according to that same study. We don't have to teach kids to lie. They automatically do as part of their sin nature. The devil is a liar. And that's what the Bible is trying to help us understand, that in order to combat the accuser, the liar, the slanderer, the destroyer, we must be secured with truth. Now, the question we have to ask ourselves is, where is this truth? And what do we understand about truth? And to understand that truth is really something that we think in our mind. We act according to our thoughts. We act according to what we think is true. And so we understand that this spiritual warfare that he's writing of in Ephesians 6 begins with our mind. It begins with our thoughts. It begins with understanding our relationship with truth and error, with lies and deception, and truly understanding what truth is and where truth comes from. And I mentioned the last 2 weeks that we, in the world we live, have an abundance of people who think they know the truth, right? Google, that's a real truth place, isn't it? ChatGPT and different things that are happening in the world that has all kinds of ideas and understanding of truth and what truth is and where truth can be found. We have all kinds of people who are willing to claim that they know the truth. But spiritual battle begins in our mind with our thoughts. Let me show you this. Back to the book of Ephesians. We're already in Ephesians. Go back to chapter 4 and verse number 17. The Apostle Paul here is reminding the church in Ephesus to put on the new man. And he says in verse 17, he says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." Truth. Vanity means emptiness. "In the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." Just read a few more verses. "Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus Christ, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust." And look at this in verse 23. "And be renewed," where? "In the spirit of your mind." Where is truth? What is our relationship with truth and our thoughts and our understanding of truth? He says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Our minds are constantly working and thinking and desiring and seeking that which is true. To fight spiritual warfare, you need a renewed mind that is filled with truth. And truth is found in Christ. We must leave behind the empty, futile ways of thinking and the false ways of thinking and fill our minds with truth. That's where sin began, is it not? In Genesis 3, where we see in the mind, and the devil comes after the mind, and we begin to think that our way is better than God's way, or choosing not to think about God's way at all. Our minds. What are our minds thinking about? Has your mind ever been deceived by something you thought was true but ended up not being true? Have you ever walked through a field and jumped, I've given this illustration before, and jumped back at what you thought was a snake and it turned out to be a stick, right? Or whatever it may be, our minds need to be renewed by truth. We are born in sin. We have the tempter that is constantly telling lies and deceiving and destroying. Our minds must be filled with truth. We have to quit thinking our way of thinking is better than God's. We have to quit choosing to not care about God's way and begin to seek His truth in His understanding. We think of Matthew chapter number 6, where the book of Matthew says, consider the lilies of the field, how God has adorned them, and consider the birds and how God takes care of them. Do not worry what you shall eat or drink, for God will take care of you. The answer for a worrying, anxious mind is to fill our minds with truth, with the truth of God's word. So that brings us to one of two questions today. Number one, where can I find truth? And that's what everybody wants to know. Maybe you are the exception today and you think, well, I don't need to know where truth is. I know, and I hope you do know where truth is. But the world that we live in today is constantly looking for truth. What do I believe? Which way do I go? Where do I find truth? Some people say, well, truth is found in reasoning. If I can reason something, then it's true, right? But yet, there's plenty of things that do not provide perfect, sound reasoning in our hearts and minds. So therefore, reasoning is not a true source of truth. So I got another idea. If it's not reasoning, then it's culture. Whatever the culture determines to be true, then that is my truth. Boy, that's scary. I mean, our culture today has determined all kinds of things to be true. All kinds of things that are clearly lies and clearly false. And it is though we just turn our eyes to what the truth is and turn away and say, oh, well, that's okay. Well, the culture cannot determine what truth is. Cultures change. People change. And opinions change. Culture is not our source of truth. How about this one? I know what's true. If it's not just reasoning and it's not the culture, it's the leaders of the day. It's those in power. We saw how that turned out. That was a disaster, right? Those in power determining what truth is. You remember during COVID, all the different opinions that were there? Do you remember that? It was all over the place. There was this, there was that, there was do this, don't do that, don't go here, do go here, be outside, don't be outside, be inside, what do whatever, you know, on and on. Every week it was some new thing. And I know many were trying their best, but it was all over the place. So those in power is not our source of truth. We don't get our source from just those that are in power. Our number four, and this is big today, people that I admire. He scored 3 touchdowns last week. Surely he knows what the best soft drink is, right? I mean, he has to. I mean, he is the authority on hydration. He has done it on the field, and that is it. That I know that he knows all about those things. It's people that I admire. And whether it be in sports or whether it be a political figure, whatever it may be, they are my source of truth. I admire them. Or we could even talk about influencers. Do y'all know what an influencer is? Social media influencers. Because they have a lot of followers. Now, this is all new to me. We didn't deal with this in youth group when I was with you all. You know, I didn't know what all that stuff. I remember one of the youth in the church family one time was says, "Josh, do you have a MySpace?" And I was like, "I don't know. What is that?" You know? I mean, I guess that was before when Facebook and all that stuff was coming out. I didn't know exactly what that was. But, you know, influencers, we have all these people that have followings and they give advice constantly. Do this. Don't do that. You should do this. You shouldn't do this. On and on. So now that is my source of truth because I admire that person. They're good at this or they're good at that. No wonder that people hire celebrities to sell their product, right? You ever bought a product because a celebrity endorsed it? I know you have. We all have, right? You know, and we've all said, "Oh, I'm gonna buy this and do these different things." But my source of truth is reason, culture, those in power, people that I admire, right? Are any of those really reliable sources of truth? Well, no. Because they can be deceived just as well as I can. Well, then how about number five? And this one's really going to do it. I know, Josh, if it's not culture, if it's not those in power, if it's not reason, if it's not people I admire, it's my feelings. I can feel it. I can just feel the truth. Let me tell you something. Feelings change, don't they? I mean, I've seen people's feelings change in a matter of minutes, right? We can't, our feelings are not our guide for what truth is. Our feelings might be different tomorrow. That's a problem. We can't find our truth based upon our feelings, for what is true of all time cannot be based upon how I feel about something. I don't mean this next statement in a political way because I know that certain people use this little line all the time. But the devil is a master with fake news. And I'm not meaning television stations. I'm saying in our own life. The devil is a master at lying and deceiving and convincing us of things that are not true. And I would imagine that as I have, you all have also fallen prey to the devil's lies, to the devil's deception, to the devil's destructions. We all have found truth in reason when we should have been going to God. We've all allowed culture to determine what is right and wrong instead of the Word of God. We've all trusted people in power or leadership instead of God. We've all admitted to follow people that we admire more than God. And I know I am guilty of following my own feelings instead of the truth of God's word. The devil is a master deceiver. The devil, listen, the devil is actively working to fill our minds with lies about who we are and who other people are around us. And ultimately, the devil's goal in all this is to fill our minds with lies about God. That's what he started with at the very beginning. Hath God said, he says to Eve, you shall not surely die. God is not, he didn't mean that. And the same lies are being propagated in our world today. So we have to understand what our source of truth is. It starts with a battle in the mind. It starts with understanding a source for truth. Where can I go that's reliable? Where can I go that's true and real? What can I build my life upon that is a solid rock and not shifting with every wave in the ocean? It is found in the Word of God. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The Bible says the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God has given us his word as a source for truth and the standard for truth. Our minds must be conformed to the truth of God's word, not to the lies of the devil. And it starts by filling our minds with truth. Remember when you were kids, and maybe your mom didn't say this, but remember when you were kids that your mom would say, now, garbage in. Say that again like you meant it. Garbage in. It's true. Listen, what you fill your mind with is what you will be. Do we understand that? If we fill our minds with lies continually, we will believe and become those very lies. See, we need to, as Christians, be filling our minds with truth. No wonder the devil has an assault upon the Word of God. No wonder he doesn't want you reading, memorizing, or studying the Word of God, because the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the very truth of the living God who created the entire universe, including yourself, and within that is pages that give you life and peace and joy and true and lasting contentment that come from the truth of knowing God and understanding who He is and who you are and how to have a relationship with your Creator. The devil has a big lie that is taught all over the world today that you came from an animal. That has mathematically been proven to be impossible. And yet it's propagated as though it is true. The devil has people believing all kinds of things today. We must come back to truth. Where is truth found? It is found within the Word of God. This is truth. This is what God has revealed to mankind. The Word of God has timeless authority. Timeless authority. It's continuing to influence people across history. It's timeless authority. The Word of God is historically and archaeologically accurate. It's the truth of God. It is backed by eyewitness testimony. It has manuscript reliability. It has internal consistency. From beginning to end, the Bible comes together with consistency. It has supernatural authenticity. It changes people's lives, including mine and including yours. And then on top of it all, it has fulfilled prophecy. Where would Jesus be born? We're so used to Christmas, it's just like anything. But it was prophesied where Jesus would be born. It was prophesied the tribe He would come from. It was prophesied that He'd be born of a virgin. And time again, of His way of crucifixion, what they would do after His crucifixion. The Bible predicted and fulfilled the prophecies concerning Christ and many, many countless others. The Bible is our source of truth. The Bible is where our minds need to go for instruction in what is real and what is false. So I want to ask you in three ways, or say three and a half ways of application this morning. He says in Ephesians 6, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Truth is not found in reason. It is not found in political power. It is not found in whatever is popular or by people who think they know what is best. It's not formed by my feelings. It's formed by the truth of the Word of God. And God has given us His Word. So let me ask you this morning in way of application. Think of this for a moment. What lies from the devil have each of us been tempted to believe about ourselves or about others, about our circumstances, or about God? Ask yourself in your own heart this morning, what lies from the devil have you been tempted to believe about yourself? Maybe the devil comes to you and he says, you're worthless. You mean nothing. You have no importance in this world. This world will be just fine if you were never born, the devil may say. That's a lie. The Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. What lie do you tend to believe about yourself? Sundays are a hard day for a pastor. The devil loves Sundays. You go home, he says, Josh, you forgot your best point. Oh, I did. Josh, you're a failure. Oh, I am. You know? Josh, you should have said that differently, the devil says. You could have done better than that. Sundays are a hard day. You replay everything in your mind that you've said and think you should have said it better or differently. What lie are you tempted to believe about yourself? Maybe you feel worthless. Maybe you feel you have no impact upon those around you. Maybe the devil says God will never forgive you. You'll never have joy again. None of that's true. The devil is a liar. Your mind must be taught by truth. What does the truth say about you? The Bible says you are known and loved by God. The Bible says he knows the number of hairs upon your head. The Bible says he offers true and lasting joy to all those that come to him. The Bible says he can set you free from any captivity or thought that you've ever had. What lie about yourself have you been tempted to believe? You are valuable. You are not worthless. You are valuable and you are important and you have a plan. And God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Do not believe the deceiver and the accuser with his garbage. Fill your mind with the truth of God's word. What other things could we believe? What other lies could we be tempted about ourselves or about others? So-and-so gave me a dirty look today. And I'm telling you what, they got it coming to them. You know, what lies do we tell to ourselves and about others? During greeting time, the pastor walked right by me. He must know about that Facebook post. You know, I mean, just kidding. But, you know, but seriously, that's what our minds can do, can't it? The devil comes and he says all kinds of things. I mean, when I was first a pastor, I was a young pastor, and somebody would say, preacher, can I meet with you? And I'd say, no, please don't come meet with me. I don't want to meet with anybody. You know, I'm scared to death. You know, because the devil, he'd fret me all week about what it was and what I had done. I mean, when I first became a pastor, I'd stand up to preach, and if someone left for the bathroom, my whole sermon was gone. I've offended them. It's over. It's over right now. Sermon's over. Let's go. Right? You know, what lies are you tempted to believe about yourself and about others? What lies are you tempted to believe about your circumstances? Maybe you have a circumstance you've been in. You feel like God doesn't care anymore. You feel like you'll never be delivered from it. And the devil comes and he says, God's forgotten about you. He's forgotten about you. What lies are you tempted to believe about your circumstances? The Bible says God will never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. We can get told lies about our circumstances. It'll never improve. It'll never get better, the devil says. You'll always be like this. You'll never change. It's not true. That's a lie about our circumstances. And then number four in this application part, what lies are we tempted to believe about God? Oh, the devil loves to tell lies about God. He's the accuser. And where can you find truth about who God is? From his word. The devil, what lies are we tempted to believe about ourselves, about others, about our circumstances, or about God? What lie have you believed and have I believed about God? God, have you seen the state of this world? Where are you? The devil says, oh, he doesn't care anymore. But yet the Bible says the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. What God, we say God doesn't want to save people, but the Bible says that God is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is not willing that any should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. Oh, Jesus is not, he's just one of the saviors. He's not the savior. Oh, the devil loves that one. But the Bible says there's one God and one savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what I'm just giving examples today, but what lies are we tempted to believe about ourselves, others, our circumstances, or about God? And then three more things and we'll be done. What truths, now think of this, and when in regard to these four things, what truths do you need to believe to win the battle of your mind? Whether it's a circumstance, whether it's others, whether it's yourself, or whether it's God, what truths do you need to begin to believe to win this battle for your mind? What truth would it be? Only you know the answer to that. I don't know the lies that the devil has told you. I know the lies he's told me. But ask yourself, what truth do you need to begin to believe to win the battle for your mind? Because what we think is what we're going to do. A truth about yourself, a truth about others, a truth about your circumstances, or a truth about God. And based upon these things, what truth do we need to spread to our world? If there's all these lies, what truths do we need to begin to spread to our world? The truth of the Word of God. That's why the Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed, in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I'm not ashamed of this. This is the truth. We don't need to be ashamed of holding forth what has been proven as truth, what God has revealed to us as truth. Do not be ashamed. What truth do we need to spread to our world? And one last point, and I'm done. One last point, and I'm done. How? We have to make a plan, right? Every battle begins with a plan. How are we going to fill our minds with truth? If we recognize this is truth, how or what is our plan to begin to fill our minds with truth? What kind of plan could you make in your life to say, all right, I got to get some truth. I've been believing a lie about myself, about others, about my circumstances, or about God. What is my plan to begin to fill my mind with truth? Maybe you can say, I'm going to begin to read my Bible again. Maybe you've forsaken scripture reading. Maybe you say, well, I need to memorize verses to help me deal with these lies the devil has told me. I'm going to memorize these things. Or maybe you know the Word of God and you have the verses memorized, but maybe it's a matter of putting it in gear and applying what you know. That's what a lot of us deal with. You know, we're Christian people and we're here and we know a lot of truth, but we don't apply the truth. That's why the Bible says be a doer of the Word, not just a hearer only. Are we going to apply what we know from God's Word? Let's take a moment. Joanna and Bethany are going to come this morning. Can we bow our heads together? Let's take some time with the Lord today. What lies are we most tempted to believe about ourselves, about others, about our circumstances, or about God? What truths do you need to believe to win the battle of this mind? And how are you going to fill your mind with truth? Take a moment and talk to the Lord. However He has dealt with you this day, maybe He's revealing to you right now the lie you've been believing. Maybe He's revealing to you the deception that you have counted as truth. However the Lord has revealed to you this day, thank you. Let's stand to our feet this morning. All right, here's our final verse today. And then Bethany is going to lead us in one more verse of the song they just played and the song we sang earlier. Before we do that, let's say our verse together. Ready? And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. Bethany is going to lead us in one more verse of the goodness of God. Let's sing with all our hearts today to the Lord, to thank Him what He's done for us. Let's lift our voices today. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the truth that You have given to us. May our minds be filled with Your truth, with Your word, with Your understanding. We have an adversary who is a liar and a deceiver. And Father, may we, in our lives every day, make a decision that our minds will be controlled by truth. Give us strength, the Holy Spirit, to do these things. Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the opportunity to worship You. We thank You for the opportunity to learn from Your word. Help us throughout this week. In Jesus' name, amen.